May I have your attention, please? Sabbat Shalom, everyone. I'm Sonny Israel with Shoney Hawkins. I now like to serve forever and peace on you very soon. And now time to start fire seats for Sabbath services. May I have your attention, please? May I have your attention, please? Shabbat Shalom, everyone. My name is Sonny Israel Abel Yadea Hawkins, and I'd like to serve you forever as a priest starting very soon. I'd now like to introduce to you the sons and daughters of Israel Abel now entering the sanctuary. I would now like to turn it over to Yeshaya Hawkins.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. So today I'm going to be talking about the great topic for this feast, serving others. From the Webster's New World Dictionary, to serve means to work as a servant, to do services or duties for, to aid, to give obedience and reverent honor to Yahweh. Now, from this definition, there are many aspects to the word serve. Here at Yahweh's feast, we have a lot of opportunities to serve one another in the area of food service. Our great teacher, Yisrael Hawkins, has gone out of his way to make sure we have a lot of enjoyable things to eat while keeping the feast. Eating physical food helps us to rejoice at the feast, but we shouldn't forget what Pastor has said about the spiritual food, because it is just as important. Let's look at an example of when Yahshua served those he taught. Please turn over to Matthew 14, verse 14 through 21. It's on page 742. Matthew 14, starting at verse 14. It says, "When Yahshua went out, he saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion for them and healed their sick. And when it was becoming evening, his disciples said to him, 'This is a deserted place, and the day is almost over. Send the multitude away so that they may go into the villages and buy themselves some food.' But Yahshua said to them, 'They do not have to leave. You give them something to eat.' But they said to him, 'We have only 5 loaves and 2 fish here.'" Now think how you would feel if you were in the place of the disciples and they only had a couple loaves of bread and 2 fish, and they were supposed to feed a whole multitude of people. Starting back at verse 18, it says, "He said, 'Bring them here to me.' Then he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass, taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. Looking up to heaven, he blessed, broke, and gave the loaves to the disciples, and the disciples gave the loaves to the multitude. And they all ate and were satisfied, and they took up the broken pieces that were left, over 12 baskets full. Now those who had eaten were about 5,000 men, apart from women and children." Now it would have been very easy for Yahshua to send the multitude away and tell them to go buy some food. But instead, Yahshua and the disciples, they worked together in unity and they served. They served the multitude something to eat. And it also, in the beginning, it was talking about another service. Yahshua was healing their sick. So, in the 12th book of Yisrael, part 1, chapter 13, verse 89, it says, verse 7, "Yahshua answered and said to him, 'What I do, you do not now understand.' He wasn't understanding. Neither would the world understand this today. You've got to understand it. You've got to understand that in our minds and hearts, we have got to have the serving attitude, serving others attitude, caring for others. Praise Yahweh." This serving others attitude is one of the very best attitudes we can learn. Tomorrow evening, we'll be having the family meal, which Pastor called the Last Supper. And this is an opportunity for all of us to practice our serving, to practice serving others, to practice our serving others attitude. Everyone will be able to have a job, turning the tables and chairs, putting together the food trays that are waiting on the tables. Then after the meal, we can all help with cleanup. And cleanup is a important job, and everyone can help. And remember, all means all. Just like every other job in the House of Yahweh, the more people that help, the easier it is on everyone. So, in conclusion, remember to be a servant and to serve others throughout the rest of this feast. And with this, I'd like to turn it over to Son of Yishalabel for prayer.
Once again, that's all the announcements I have. I'll now turn the services over to the great Son of Yishalabel, Deacon Melchizedek Hawkins.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. You may be seated. So today I'll be focusing on the subject of servitude, you know, the theme for this feast about I did not come to be served, I came to serve. You know, we've had this theme, a theme about serving for a couple of feasts now, and I was thinking, you know, there has to be a reason for this. Getting this attitude like Yahshua of becoming a servant is also part of getting the gods out of our life. Getting their attitude and their way of thinking out of our life. Now, one of the ways of doing this is to become like Yahshua, who took on the form of a servant. Now, you can see that the world is not for serving. The gods don't serve their neighbor or brother. Okay? If what is going on doesn't hurt them, you know, they don't care. They lift themselves up above others. In fact, this is the definition of a god, you know, one who lifts themselves up above others. And in fact, their mentality needs to be out of our life. Their way of thinking needs to be out of our hearts and minds. You know, the gods are absolutely opposite to and contrary to Yahweh. You know, they are against Yahweh, and they are against serving. You know, Yahweh tells us to serve our brother. This is something that the gods don't do. In fact, Yahweh is the greatest servant. He serves his creation. You know, just ponder for a minute. Where would we be right now without Yahweh? You know, we'd probably all be dead or severely hurt if Yahweh wouldn't serve his creation. Okay? Life as we know it would not be here. Okay? But becoming a servant will be a huge step in becoming like Yahweh and coming out of this world. Remember that the scripture tells us that the way of the world, the way of the gods, is against Yahweh. Yahweh has nothing to do with the gods and wants nothing to do with them. If we look over to the book of Romans, Romans 8, it's found on page 879, Romans 8, verse 6 through 7. Actually, let's start off in verse 5. It says, "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against, bitterly opposed to Yahweh, for it is not subject to the law of Yahweh, nor indeed can be. So then those who are of the flesh cannot please Yahweh." So this carnal mind here is the God's way of thinking, and it's evil. It's an evil attitude of, I'm better than you, and you come and serve me. It's the God's way of behaving, and it's evil and demonic. And this has nothing to do with Yahweh's way and his attitude. Yahweh tells us through the scripture that the kingdom of Yahweh will be based on service to others. Now Yahshua also served Yahweh, and the called out ones by his obedience when he laid down his life for the work of Yahweh. When Yahshua walked on the earth, he set a perfect pattern for us to follow by becoming a servant himself. If we look over to the book of Philippians, Philippians chapter 2. Philippians 2, and let's start off in verse 5, and it says, it's found on page 922, and it says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Yahshua Messiah, who being in the form of Yahweh, did not think it was something to be seized upon to be equal with Yahweh, but abased himself, taking the form of a servant, made like men being born." Okay, so this word abase, from the Webster's New World Dictionary, it means to lower, to humble or humiliate. Okay, now this is what Yahshua did whenever he became a servant and he washed his disciples' feet. This is one way that he became a servant, by washing his disciples' feet and so on. You know, this is what we should be striving to do, you know, to lower ourselves, to humble ourselves. Remember, the gods, they're not humble, they're proud and arrogant, okay, which is opposite to being humble, and we should be striving to be humble. But this is what we should be striving to do. You know, Yahshua also taught his disciples to be servants too. Now, Yahshua followed the example of Yahweh by being a servant. Yahweh as Creator and Heavenly Father serves His creation continually, and without His service to us, we would not even exist. So each of us must develop Yahweh's loving, caring character of servitude to others. For this is the only way we will ever enter into His kingdom. Now those who qualify will forever display Yahweh's character. They will serve the whole creation by their submission to all authority placed over them, and by their true love and concern for the well-being of others. Now Yahshua gave many parables about the kingdom of Yahweh, and Yahshua taught that he who would be greatest in the kingdom of Yahweh would be a servant, okay, serving Yahweh and others in true love. If we could look over to the book of Matithiah, Matithiah chapter 20, and start off on verse 26. It's found on page 748, Matithiah 20, verse 25, and it says, "But Yahshua summoned them and said, 'You know that the rulers of the Gentiles exercise control over them, and they who are greater still exercise authority over them.'" But notice what he says here in verse 26, "But this must not be so among you, for whoever will be greatest among you, let him be your servant. For whoever will be the first among you, he must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be waited on, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." Okay, so Yahweh's laws of slavery show true love and concern for mankind. Helping and serving others by giving of ourselves is the very type of character that we must obtain. Okay, in the world today, Yahweh's righteous laws of servitude have been rejected and ignored. Instead, man-made laws are practiced, which are all one-sided and used for the benefit of the slave owner alone. But Yahweh's laws of slavery are far from the world's ideas of slavery. Yahweh's way of slavery shows true concern for the well-being of others. It is the servitude to others that will allow the earth to be rebuilt to a place where mankind can live again in perfect peace and safety. Now, in conclusion, I'd like to say, you know, we should be striving to serve our brother, to serve our neighbor, you know, to get this attitude of servitude, you know, so we could be just like Yahweh and Yahshua. And that's all the time I have. If everyone will please stand, I'll turn it over to the next speaker, Son of Yisrael Abel. You did your tucker.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Today I want to be talking about how we are obligated to be an example to others. How we are obligated to be an example to others. And an important part of proper conduct is to become a righteous role model, and others look up to us and look at us, whether we're aware of it or not. Others look at us, and our behavior should spur others on towards righteousness and not evil. If you can turn over to 1 Timothy 4, verse 12, and it's on page 935, and it says, "Let no man despise your youth,
but be an example to others, be an example to the believers, in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. And we need to remember that our conduct must be upright if we are to be as Yahshua Messiah, if we are to walk as Yahshua Messiah walked, which means avoiding any appearance of evil and overcoming any negative pulls of the carnal mind, which takes practice. And notice how Yahweh gives us instructions concerning this in 1 Yochanan 2, verses 5 and 6. It's on page 964, if you can turn over to there. 964. It's 1 Yochanan 2, verses 5 and 6. It says, but whoever keeps his law, in him truly is the love of Yahweh perfected. By this we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him is himself also obligated to walk exactly as he walked. And remember that he who says I know him but does not keep his laws is a liar and the truth is not in him. He who says that he knows him but does not walk exactly as he walked, exactly as Yahshua walked, is a liar and the truth is not in him. And turn over to Philippians 1, verses 27. And it's on page 2, it's on page 921. Page 921. And it says, only let your conduct be worthy of the message of the Messiah, so that whether I come and see you, or whether I am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, contending together in the faith of the message, and not being frightened by your adversaries in any way, which is a sign to them of their destruction and a sign of your salvation. And yes, we are obligated to walk as Yahshua Messiah walked in uprightness or uprightness and purity of heart. And we are to be of the same mindset as he is. Meaning that we must be in constant remembrance of living by the every word of Yahweh as Yahshua Messiah did. And Yahweh's laws rule his life, just like they should rule our lives. And Yahweh's laws rule his life here on earth and continues to rule his life in the heavens. And Yahweh doesn't leave us ignorant as to how our conduct should be. We were made to glorify Yahweh, and we do this by overcoming every inclination to sin. And in 1 Corinthians 6, verses 15, which we'll get into here shortly, we're going to see how Yahweh is guiding us, his house, and he guided Yahshua when he was here on earth also. And we were born with fleshly desires so that we can be tested and proven by Yahweh. And we're given this carnal nature so that we can overcome it and prove our love to Yahweh. In this way, we can qualify for a place in his kingdom. If you can turn over to 1 Corinthians 6, verses 15 and 20. It's on page 890. 1 Corinthians 6, 15 on page 890. And it says, do you not know that your bodies are the members of Messiah? Would I take the members of Messiah and make them members of a prostitute? By no means. Or do you not know that the one who joins himself to a prostitute is the one body with her? For Yahweh says, the two will become one flesh. But the person who is united to Yahweh is one with him in spirit. Flee sexual impurities. All other sins that a man commits are outside his body. But he who sins sexually sins against him or sins against his own body. Or do you, this is verse 19, or do you not know that your body is the sanctuary of the Holy Spirit in you, which you have from Yahweh, and you are not your own? For you were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify Yahweh in your body and in your spirit, which are Yahweh's. Now, we need to remember and understand that the Spirit Holy cannot abide in us if we do not repent of these sins. And the quickest way to cut yourself off from Yahweh, this is the quickest way to cut yourself off from Yahweh and qualify for the second death. If you can turn over to Revelations 21, verse 8. And it's on page 985. It says, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and worshippers of God's Elohim and all liars will have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstones, which is the second death. So in conclusion, for my closing scripture, if you can turn over to First Yochanan 2, and it's on page 964. First Yochanan 2, verses 15 through 17. It says, do not love the world. Do not love the world, nor the things that are in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away with the lust that is in it. But he who does the will of Yahweh abides forever. He who does the will of Yahweh abides forever. So in conclusion, let's walk as Yahshua walked. Let's practice righteousness on a daily basis, right? Turn away from any evil and continue to practice righteousness so we'll be able to make it into Yahweh's kingdom and abide forever. So with that, if y'all please stand. I'd like to turn it over to the great Deacon Tovia.
Shabbat Shalom! How's everyone doing on this beautiful Sabbath day? All right. You may be seated. So today I'm going to talk a little bit about the work of Yahweh and being in unity with this work. Right? And I hope everyone here is involved in the work of Yahweh in some form or fashion. And I see people all over the place taking care of all sorts of different jobs. If you're not involved, please get involved. You have two more days to find a place in Yahweh's work. Okay? And become part of this unity, this family that Yahweh is building through His High Priest Yeshua, through His last days witness, Yisrael Hawkins. Okay? We have to remember that we all have a choice to make, right? We can either come in unity with this last day's work, or we can buck up against instructions, or we can cause difficult situations or disagreements, okay? So we have to remember, it's our choice. Nobody can force us to be part of this group, this family. Nobody can force us to do that. We have to choose that ourselves. Okay, and I have a quote from the ninth book of Israel. It's chapter 15, verse 64 and 68. Okay, and Pastor's talking about the unity with the feast and all these things. But he says, but here we see now in Amosia 3:3, he tells you, you know, you've got to walk together. Yeshua said, we've got to be in unity. Okay? Yeshua won't accept you unless you're in unity. Unity, right? The only way we're going to come into unity, he said, is to humble yourself like a little child. And throughout the scriptures where Yeshua says, you know, as a little child, and Pastor was saying, now he's assuming that you've humbled yourself like this little child, right? Accepting instructions. He said, humble yourself like a little child and do what you're told to do. Whatever you're assigned to do, do it with all your might. Whatever it is, cleaning toilets, working with that person you think, I can't work with him or I can't work with her. We don't get along. Do it. Do it with all your might. Okay? Now that's the kingdom of Yahweh. Okay? And in other parts, Pastor talked about this brotherly love that comes with this unity. And I'm going to get into a little bit of some things that occurred leading up to the feast and kind of show you how that this unity is building here among the people that are getting involved in the work. Okay? Now he says, now if you're in unity, and that's all he asks you to do, don't speak against the work. He says, don't speak against the work. Speak to build the work up. That's what we should all be doing. We should be speaking to build this body, right? This priesthood up. And bring people into the work, right? He says, not in disagreement. No disagreement. You can't have unity and disagreement. It doesn't work, right? And Pastor says, praise Yahweh, right? So I want to talk to you a little bit about, you see the signs when you come in the front gate. I did not come to be served, I came to serve, okay? And that's part of this unity, working together, working along side by side with that person you think, I really can't work with that person, or you know, we don't get along. Do it. Do it with a humble attitude, and don't think, oh, well, my idea is better, or this way is the way we're supposed to do it, right? We want to have a humble attitude and say, let's try it. Let's see if this way works. Okay? So I want to talk to you a little bit. Before the feast, Pastor called several men and he said, we need to start this building. We're not going to have enough room for the men to eat. We need to start this building over here at the cafeteria, and I'm sure you've all seen it going up. And we said, okay, you know, we can get it done. We can get the building up, but we might have to pour the slab during the feast. And he said, okay. And as we went along, you know, there's several people that were involved, and Pastor kept dropping these hints. Well, you think we could hand pour that? Hand pour it? What? That's 35 yards of concrete, Pastor. What do you mean hand pour it? There's no way we could do it. That's 35 yards. And that was it. And a little bit later, he said, yeah, I got those mixers ready for y'all to hand pour that. We said, what? No, Pastor, it's 35 yards. That's 3 concrete trucks, 3.5 concrete trucks. And he said, okay, well, those concrete mixers are ready. We said, okay. A little bit later, you know, we're all sitting there. We're like, well, maybe it's, you know, it's because it might be cheaper. So let's figure up the cost. Let's see. So we go, Pastor, you know, it's we're really not saving any money here doing it by hand. And he said, okay, I'll look into that. Get those men together to pour that slab. We said, okay. So we went to work, right? And as we were going along, we started pouring the slab. And we started out with a few men, and Pastor said, whoever you need, let's get them up there. Let's get everyone up there to pour this slab. So first we said, well, we need the men. These men, they have all the wheelbarrows and shovels. They're the men that deal with them. He sent all of them. So they were there. And we said, well, you know, we're going to need some welders up here. We got some pipe to weld here. So he sent the welders. And then You know, well, okay, we got these men. No, well, hold on. We don't have anyone that knows how to pour concrete yet. Okay, Pastor, we need some men that know what they're doing. So he sent those men. So we started mixing the concrete. And then other crews started jumping in. And then we're pouring this concrete, and the concrete mixer breaks. And we're like, okay, we're down. We got three. We're down to two. 10 minutes later, second one breaks. We're like, oh, okay. Well, I guess we're mixing it by hand now. So we call Pastor. Pastor, we need a mechanic. He sends a mechanic. So just to kind of put this in perspective, there was about, you know what the size of a dump truck is, right? There's about 6 dump truck loads of material that had to be hand shoveled into buckets and then dumped into a concrete mixer. So you're talking about a lot of laborious work. Well, the crew of men, by lunchtime, they were whooped, okay? They were tired. You shovel hundreds and hundreds of shovels, you get very tired. So Pastor said, send a man to the sanctuary, recruit everyone that you can get to come help. Okay, so we sent a man, went to the sanctuary. Hey, we need help pouring this slab. So a whole bunch of people came over, okay? And this includes the kitchen, all these things, right? Because we had to have water and ice and food, all these things, right? So you see what's taking place. So we're getting towards the end, and now we're seeing what the purpose of the slab was. It wasn't because it was cheaper, or it was short, it would have been quicker, any of these things. It was to get every person involved to work together in unity. And praise Yahweh, and Pastor knew that the whole time. You know, as we came to him and said, hey, this is, yep, we're still doing it. And you know what I seen during that whole time? Men pushing wheelbarrows through sand uphill with a smile on their face, talking, helping one another. You know, somebody would get tired, somebody else would jump in there. We had men that were, you know, making sure everyone was hydrated and all these things. So there was a great work that took place there, and everyone worked together in unity. There was no arguing, no fighting. Yeah, there was little things, you know, maybe confusion on the little things, but we worked them out in a peaceful way. Okay? And I want to show y'all something else. When I say we got everyone involved, we got everyone involved. We called Pastor. Because he said, you know, I used to run a concrete plant. Y'all can do it. And he was right. We can do it, right? So these are just, he came up, he ran the trial, and we did some writing in the concrete. This was on Yahweh 16. I don't know if you can see that, but he's got concrete all over him. And you see all the men in the background here working. You see all the mixers and the big piles of cement there and everything. And there's, just as he was finishing, it actually says, Yahweh Yeshua, the branch, and donkeys, right? This family of unity. And that was on Yahweh 16. Okay? So remember this. When you're working together and your goal is to be in unity with this body, guard your mind against Satan. Guard your mind against thoughts of, yes, guard your mind against thoughts of, well, this would work better. Why are we doing it this way? Well, there's a reason. And at that time, you might not know, just like we didn't know. We thought, surely there's a better way to do this. But it wasn't about the slab. It wasn't about the building. It was about getting everyone together to work together, right? So guard your mind against thoughts like that, because Satan will creep in there, and then before you know it, you'll be upset, and you'll be like, well, I can't work with these guys. I'm out of here, right? And we don't want that. That's not what Yahweh's plan, his body, his priesthood teaches. Okay, I'd like to read a scripture. It's in Hebrews 10, 24, and 25. It's found on page 949, Hebrews 10, 24, and 25. And it says, let us consider one another, how we may urge one another on towards love and righteous works. Right? We should be urging one another on. You know, come help. Be in unity with this body. Don't stand off on the side and say, well, I have my own way of doing things. It won't help you, right? It says, not forsaking the gathering of yourselves together in the manner of some is, but exhorting one another on towards, or I'm sorry, exhorting one another in so much more as you see the day approaching. I don't remember, there was a ringtone a while back where Pastor reads that scripture and he says, works, did you get that? Work, work. In unity, doing the work of Yahweh. Because if you're not doing the work of Yahweh, there's no way for you to really get in unity with this work of Yahweh. Okay, and I'd like to read one scripture here before I close. And this is, you know, encouragement, right? Because you see the world is coming to an end, right? It can't last much longer. War's taking place, fighting, arguing, there's no unity. You know, I looked up the word unity this morning, and the first thing he came up with a bunch of churches, unity in this, unity in that, unity in this. They don't even understand what unity is, right? But we've been taught what true unity is here in the house of Yahweh. But I want to read this in closing. And this is Revelation 22:12. And it says, "Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according to his works will be." Okay? Be encouraged by the work of Yahweh. Don't step back because something occurs or maybe your feelings were hurt. Push harder, get involved, and keep the joy up. Right? I don't know how I could express it enough, the amount of joy that I see in this feast in the workers. And we're talking, you know, 80, 90 people, people from other countries and states, coming together with all their ideas, putting them together, and coming out with a finished product, a slab that everyone said would take 4 days, and we got it done in two. Because of unity, right? So with this, I just want to encourage you, you know, don't let Satan get in there and say, well, my way is better, or this way is better. You know, join in, humble yourself, as Yeshua said, as a little child. You ever see a little child say, oh, I have a better way, right? No, you don't, right? So be that humble little child. Accept instruction, just as Pastor was saying in the book of Israel there. Do what you're told to do and do it with all your might. Don't leave anything out. Okay? Praise Yahweh. And with this, I'll turn it over to the great Cornelia.
Shalom, sons and daughters of Yahweh. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. If you'll be opening your books of Yahweh over to page 98, we're going to read the law here that we're going to zoom in on, Yahweh willing, in this sermon. It's Leviticus 19:18. And it says, "Do not seek revenge, nor bear a grudge against one of your own people. But you shall love your brother or your sister as yourself. I am Yahweh." Turn over to page 731 to the book of Matithiah. Matithiah 5, we'll do verses 21 to 25. This is Yeshua's teachings, the magnification of the law. Notice the subtitle, murder in the heart, hatred. Because that's right where we're going at. "You have heard that it was said by the people of ancient times, you shall not murder. Whoever murders will be in danger of the judgment. But I say to you, whoever is angry with his brother will be in danger of the judgment." This word, anger. I might be able to do this. It's a word 3710 in the Strong's Greek Dictionary. Notice, means to provoke or enrage, to become exasperated, meaning irritated. So whoever is irritated with his brother, whoever's annoyed, you see that word there, provoked, to be angry, enraged again, abhor indignation, vengeance, wrath, and punishment. So let's go back. "But I say to you, whoever is angry with his brother will be in danger of the judgment. And again, anyone who says Raka, insulting your brother." Very easy to do. Very, very easy to do. To put someone down by lifting myself up. Insulting, the great deacon was talking about the great work that we got together and have done, that he's seen this feast. You know, putting down the effort that we give. Many times, you know, the world has trained us, and I'm going to get into pastor's words here. The world has trained us to look for result. And we just look for results and results and results. Oh, you didn't do anything. I'll just get out of the way. I'll do it. And we forget about effort, because Yahweh is looking at the effort that we give. It's easy to possibly irritate, annoy someone, and it's something we want to be mindful of, and you'll see why. Verse 23, therefore, if you're offering your gift at the altar, and there you remember that your brother has something against you. Now notice, this isn't you having someone against having something against someone else. This is your brother having something against you. Notice the importance, Yeshua says here. Leave your gift before the altar. Now, the world's taught you how important your money is. Some people think that they prove their love by giving their money. But notice, Yeshua said, leave your gift there before the altar and go first and be reconciled with your brother. Then come offer your gift. So then if I have work to do, if I know that there's a complication between me and a brother, it's not all on the person who may also have a problem with me. The title of this sermon, I guess I showed it earlier. Well, and I'm going to explain to you exactly where I got this from, at least the idea of this sermon, just in case I don't get the time in there. Here's the title. And this is actually a quote from one of the pastor's sermons there, but when you can do that, you will be my brother, says Israel Hawkins. When you can do that, you will be my brother. And we're gonna, Yahweh willing, get to that. In the 13th book of Israel, part 1, chapter 17, verse 70. Pastor says, but while the hatred was built because it started building a long time ago, as Malachi Martin said it would. But this is Satan and the propaganda and the hatred that she brings forth. And she brought it to us in many different ways, brother. Even for those who were raised in schools out in the world, they were taught this, as you'll see. So to be big in the world's eyes, you got to be tough. And you got to kill. You know, having this murder and this hatred in your heart. You don't find that being taught by the Savior. The people claim they follow the Savior. The churches do. The preachers do. They're all a bunch of liars. This is Pastor says here. They're not following the Savior. The Savior said, turn the other cheek. And to pray for those who spitefully use and persecute you. The Savior didn't say, oh, you're a victim. And you know what? You're entitled to certain rights. If he comes on your property, shoot him. I remember teaching some peaceful solution classes years ago to a group of women. And we were talking about not using violence to solve problems. And it was a pretty packed class, as a matter of fact, with those women. But it was very difficult to get in their minds how to avoid an intruder coming into their home. At least how to even practice it. Yes, it still can take place, but the goal was to solve this problem of an intruder trying to come into my home without using violence. And to get their minds in that direction of prevention was almost impossible. They were popping like popcorns. Well, if he comes to my house, I'm going to take my gun and I'm going to shoot him. It was a very tough class, actually. But there was no thought of, okay, well, if he does come in, why not let him, you go back, you be safe, find a room, take you, the children, or whatever, and allow him to take what he needs and go. No one dies. Yeah, you may be missing some items or whatever. There was no thought of, well, maybe make sure the doors are locked. You know, maybe you want to leave a light on or something. I mean, it was just, the goal was to begin to get them to think in ideas and ways. Hey, maybe we can kind of prevent having to pull out, bang, bang. In some of the prisons, some of the peaceful solution classes, and I mentioned prisons because we've been blessed to go on death row, in long-term facilities. And in those classes, a lot of those men have committed murder. And I've asked this question. I usually ask the men to raise their hands. And no man has ever said in the class that's committed murder, and we've been in front of quite a few hundred of them, that they were glad that they committed the murder afterwards. And I try to explain to them, as Yahweh explains to us, no, this is something that was put inside of us. This was something, as Pastor mentioned, it was propaganda. It was built up that we got to be big. We solve problems in violent ways. In the fourth book of Israel, the reverence of Yahweh, number 13, Pastor says it's peace. It's not slapping, fighting, or hating, but becoming kings of peace. That is what we have to become. That's the reason Yeshua told us, no, don't slap if someone slaps you. Turn the other cheek. The whole point of making a sermon was hearing pastors speak in a sermon about some individuals that got into an altercation. And I noticed listening to the sermon, tells you how much overcoming I still have to do. I'm waiting on Pastor to talk about the one who started the problem. But that wasn't his focus. That wasn't his focus at all, and we'll see that. In the eighth book of Israel, part one, this is when Brian Ross interviewed him. You may remember. Mr. Ross says, finally, let me ask you, prosecutors have alleged that you have a bunch of weapons here, and that you have persuaded your followers to fight to the death, to protect you, to protect the church. And you've asked them, would you die? And here's Pastor's response. You know, I said a long time ago that I can't fight Satan, and neither should we be out here trying to fight Satan. Okay? I can't fight Satan and do the work of Yahweh. And to me, he who lives by the sword dies by the sword. I've never seen any wars. I'm like my dad. I've never seen any wars won. I've seen a lot of wars in my lifetime, but I've never seen anything won by retaliation. I'm more like the Savior. He says, turn the other cheek. Don't retaliate. He never went to war. He said, turn the other cheek. If they strike you on one side, turn the other cheek. And that's what I practice, Pastor said. The fourth book of Israel. Again, Proverbs in Yahweh, number 13, verse 150. Do you know what the highest things are? The highest, now, Pastor's talking about. They're turning the other cheek and laying down your life. Yes, serving, but laying down your life for your fellow man. These are my heroes. When you can do that, you will be my brother. Excuse me. When you can do that, you will be a son of Yahweh. Continuing in verse 20, I want you to hear his words. Do you think it makes you look big to Yahweh to walk around with a can of beer or a bottle of whiskey or a stupid cigarette in your hand? Do you know what does look big to Yahweh? Think about it. You want to be admired by me? Ooh, who doesn't want to be admired by Israel Hawkins? I will admire you if you will do certain things. I have several men in the Holy Scriptures I admire. One of them was able to turn the other cheek when he was slapped, when he was beat upon and called an ignorant bastard. That's someone I admire. Another man begged to be murdered, hanging upside down because he wasn't worthy to be killed in the same way the Savior was. That's someone I admire. That's a big man in my eyes. That's what should become big in our eyes. Follow the laws of Yahweh. They will make us big. So you can see clearly the angle that Pastor, he's trying to place this character trait of our high priest inside of us. He's trying to say, look, this is what the kingdom is going to be filled with. Men, women, that don't bicker. Men and women that if there is an altercation, will truly forgive one another, not hold a grudge against one another, not show one another who's bigger. Well, I can embarrass you with better words. It's an easy thing to do. That tongue is a very, or it can be, a very lethal weapon. We hurt more people with the tongue than anything else. The 11th book of Israel, part 2, is this one. For the sake of time, I'm going to have to skip some of these. Notice here. The 11th book of Israel, part 2, chapter 9, verse 32. Are we willing to see that? Let me not enter their council. Who is this me? Yahweh. Yahweh's righteousness. Yahweh's righteous people here. Let us not enter into this kind of council. Let us be like Yeshua. Yeshua turned the other cheek. Let Yahweh be your protection. Let's not forget that. This is not my protection. I'm supposed to be allowing Yahweh to protect me. And that doesn't mean, as was just brought out to us recently, that doesn't mean by necessarily sitting idle. As we read what Yeshua said, if I have a gift to offer, I got work to do first if there's a problem. So I can't just sit idle. I got to go reconcile. I got to go work. I got to use the peaceful solution. That's where the tools are at. They're right inside of that program. That word might be sounding plastic to your ears by now, but it's not. It's not plastic. All the tools are there if we use them. It'll help us to reconcile. Don't give into or let them lead you into their stupidity. Just because someone wants to bicker doesn't mean we have to bicker back. Be careful. Into the same violence, Pastor says. They hit, you want to hit. This is the way man was made, with his carnal mind. This is the thing we've got to overcome. That's the character we've got to overcome. And this is even, notice in the 14th book of Israel, servants, be subject to your rulers with all fear, that is with all reverence, but not only to the kind and gentle rulers, but also to the harsh. Sometimes correction comes very firmly. It doesn't mean, well, you don't talk to me like that. My mama don't talk to me like that. You don't stick your chest up to the authorities above you. Honor, take the correction. Remember, Yahweh's in full control. There is something that Yahweh is forming in us. There is a character, there's a developing there that he's working on us. This is from the 15th book of Israel. Parents, chapter 10, verse 14. Y'all really, y'all can see that. Parents, don't teach your children to fight. This mindset was given to us from the adversary. It never came from Yahweh. It never came from Yeshua. It never came from the house of Yahweh. Don't teach your children to fight. teach your children, do not fight. Which is a whole lot more than just saying, no, you can't be fighting, honey. You can't be fighting, my son. You have to teach them, give them options. Give them the mindset different, like I was trying to do with those women in that class. Give them options that they can choose. That then takes them away from getting into this stupid mindset. It's been an honor to stand before the great saints of Yahweh. If you all please stand, I turn services over to the great mighty priest, the great Kahan Shamil, Rashad Hawkins.
Praise God.
Shabbat shalom. You may be seated, and may the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. And if you will, while you're turning over to page 486, the book of Psalm 86, I'd like to tell you the title of the sermon. It's a little long. And say something to all of you. GMO versus YMO. Comma. The proud can never overcome. It's a choice. But first, I'd like to say how much growth I have seen in the body of Messiah this feast from when I got here. It's amazing. And I mentioned it to some of the men earlier this feast. You don't really see it because you're here every minute of every day. You don't see those little changes, those ways that you get better and stronger and more righteous. But when we get to come to feast, it's a very drastic thing to observe. It shows. It truly shows. You know, Pastor said something early in the feast. He said, don't look at the things that we haven't done, but look at what we have accomplished. And I've done my best to allow that to change how I'm thinking about the feast, this particular feast. That one sentence, that one statement, I hope changed all of us, and we allow it to. I can see that we're turning a corner in overcoming. Everything you've accomplished between feasts, everything, you've done it extremely well. But it's even better than that. It's grand. It's royal. It's purple. I've seen a difference in the way you get along, the attitude that you're seeing, that I see in your faces, the smiles of joy, even when it's maybe not a time you'd like to be smiling. And a lot, something else that I noticed, and I'm working hard at it, I haven't heard a whole lot of complaints and grumbling and mumbling. It's been a really awesome opportunity to be around all of you. This growth is that light growing stronger, brighter. You are the light of the world, and it's growing brighter and brighter with every righteous act that we all perform. So I praise Yahweh for all that He's accomplishing in each and every one of us. So back to the sermon. GMO versus YMO. If you haven't figured it out, it's God-modified organism versus Yahweh-modified organism. And it's a choice. Just as Deuteronomy tells us, it's in other places, but it's a choice. Do we want to be GMO or YMO? Praise Yahweh, I agree. I know which you've chosen because you're here. You know, a long time ago, I remember mentioning in a sermon that we're the sandpaper to round off those rough edges for one another. And that's what those disagreements from time to time are. It's sandpaper. We're just knocking off those rough edges, taking the splinters out so we don't hurt ourselves. But I'd like to refine that a little bit. I think what I see now is a fine craftsman building anything of wood. And we're being sanded, one another. We're sanding each other with the finest grit paper there is, because it's close to the finish. And that artist, that craftsman that's building that fine cabinet is ready to put the finish on it. We've come a long way. A very long way. You know, one of the priests reiterated recently that we've all been told by our parents, whether it was before we came here or after, do not steal. You know, do not steal. But until Pastor taught us what stealing was, we really didn't understand. We really didn't know how deep a subject stealing is. Well, there's another word that I discovered examining myself that I think is as big. And that word is pride. Pride is an extremely evil and wicked action. But we have to be taught what pride is. So if you would, I ask you to turn to page 468, Psalm 86. Starting at verse 1. Incline your ear, O Yahweh, answer us, for we are afflicted and needy. Protect us, for we are faithful, O Yahweh, our Father. Save your servants who trust in you. Be merciful to us, O Yahweh, for we cry out to you all the day. Cause your servants to rejoice, for to you, O Yahweh, we lift up our souls, our lives. You, O Yahweh, are merciful and ready to forgive. You are abundant in mercy and in all those who call upon you. Give ear to our prayers, O Yahweh. Listen to our supplications. In the day of our trouble, we will call upon you, and you will answer us. There is none like you among the gods, O Yahweh, and there are no works like your works. All the nations which you have made will come and worship in front of you, O Yahweh, and glorify your name. For you are great and do wondrous things. You alone, O Yahweh, are our Father. Teach us your way, O Yahweh, and we will walk in your truth. Make us one in heart, in unity, to reverence your name. We will praise you, O Yahweh, our Father, with all our hearts. We will glorify your name forever. Great is your mercy toward us, for you have delivered our souls from the depths of the grave. O Yahweh, the proud has risen against us, and the assembly of violent men have sought our lives, men who have not set you in front of them. But you, O Yahweh, are a Father full of compassion and mercy, long-suffering, patient and slow to anger, and abundant in love and truth. O turn to us and have mercy on us. Give your strength to your servants. Grant salvation to the sons and daughters of your handmaidens. Show us a sign of your love for us, so our haters will see it and be ashamed. Because you, O Yahweh, have helped us and comforted us. You are that sign. The house of Yahweh is that sign that's spoken of in verse 17. If you notice, all of the righteous attributes that Yahweh has toward His people I ask that we stop and we think about, if Pastor is Yahweh for us, and we are Yahweh to one another, is this how we respond to one another at all times? Because Yahweh responds this way to each and every one of us at all times. Praise Yahweh. He's righteous. He's merciful, long-suffering, all of the things we've read. Pastor emulates. Pastor does his best to be just as Yeshua. Yeshua was this same way. So should we be. We have to be. It's what builds one another up and not tears one another down. We make mistakes with pride. We don't always realize or comprehend or grasp or understand what it means to be proud. And maybe that's something we should study a bit more. You know, rebellion, harsh words, rough treatment of one another, or just a few of the things that are covered under pride. Because pride means we're lofty. We lift ourselves up above everything and everyone. And there's no way to have unity in that way. Pride is evil, it's wicked, it's harmful in every way. If you will, page 460. 86. Oh, turn the page too quick. 471. Psalm 94. Psalm 94. O Yahweh, our Father, to whom vengeance belongs, our Father, to whom vengeance belongs, shine forth. Rise up, O Judge of the earth. Reimburse the proud with a fitting reward. How long will the wicked, O Yahweh, how long will the wicked triumph? They pour out arrogant speech and speak utter insolence. All the workers of iniquity are full of boasting. They crush your people, O Yahweh, and they afflict your inheritance. They slay the widow and the strangers and the stranger, and they murder the fatherless. Yet they say, Yahweh does not see. The father of Jacob does not notice. Understand, you brutish among the people, the fools, when will you become wise? He who implanted the ear, does he not hear? He who formed the eye, does he not see? He who disciplines the nations, does he not punish? He who teaches mankind knowledge, does he lack knowledge? Yahweh knows the thoughts of man. He knows they are vanity. Blessed is the man whom you discipline and instruct, O Yahweh, and teach out of your law, so you may make him rest from the days of trouble until the pit is dug for the wicked. For Yahweh will not cast off his people, nor will he forsake his inheritance. But justice will return to the ways of the righteous, and all the upright in heart will follow it. You will rise up for us against the evildoers. You will stand up for us against the workers of iniquity. If you, O Yahweh, had not been our help, we would soon have dwelt in the silence of the grave. If we say our foot is slipping, your loving kindness and mercy holds us up, O Yahweh. In the multitude of anxious thoughts within us, your consolations bring us delight. Can the throne of iniquity, which contrives evil by law, have fellowship with you? They band themselves together against the lives of the righteous and condemn the innocent to death. But Yahweh has been our defense. Our Father has been the rock of our refuge. You bring upon them their own iniquity. You will cut them off in the midst of their wickedness. You, O Yahweh, our Father, will destroy them. We are the light of the world. We are that sign, as we read in the other scripture. We're also the answer to all of these supplications for one another. We are how Yahweh lifts us up when we lift one another up. We are Yahweh for one another in this way. All these cries the psalmist mentions is showing us how we can answer these prayers, these supplications for one another. Because if we don't, who else will? Yahweh is in control of everything. However, there's a responsibility that each of us holds to accomplish everything spoken of us in these scriptures. You know, that word rebellious, part of pride, that word rebellious, to me, it ties into the word truth. Why would we rebel against something that we believe, we know is truth? Why would we rebel against the truth? Because it was said with harsh words, it was said condescendingly, it was said in a way you don't appreciate, or I don't appreciate, I include myself. There's a lot of compassion in those two psalms. I guess there is in all of the book of Yahweh. But those psalms say it in the least amount of words that I could come up with, because it said so much better than I could have ever brought it out. And you can prove it to yourself, because it's in black and white right here. It's the truth. Because Yahweh inspired these scriptures to be written. Praise Yahweh. If you would, remember, there's three types of truth, or truths. There's head truth. There's head truth. I think this is true. That's head truth. I think this is true. Then there's heart truth. I believe this is true. So there's head truth. I think this is true. There's heart truth. I believe this is true. But then there's facts or data. The facts in black and white the priest of Yahweh has chosen for us tells me this is true, and it's our choice to accept that or not. We can do this. We've proven it to ourselves. We've proven it to one another. Just as if you notice the things that are done here, the cedar wood up on the wall behind me, it's an awesome thing. It's grand. Look around, see those things that are grand about one another. Because this would have never been done 10 years ago. It was done now. Because now is the polishing touches. Now, the true loyalty and royalty of each one of us can be seen. Let it out. It's a choice. It's a choice that each one of us can make, and we can't not do it for one another. And if you'll all please stand. It's my great opportunity and privilege to introduce to you the next speaker, the great Kohan Benaiah Hawkins.
Shalom. Shalom, everybody. And listen with a believing mind. May the peace of Yahweh be with you. You all be seated. And by all means, put your seatbelts on, because we're going to speak about parables and prophecies. When we are hidden in a time zone now, it's going to be extremely exciting for the house, because parables will be revealed and prophecies fulfilled through this revealing of the parables, okay? Today, we're going to talk about the parables of the stones. You know, we have been called stones. We have been called many names by the prophets. We've been called beasts in the beginning. We've been called wild oxen, sheep, donkeys, pigs, mad dogs, you name it. All right, so anyway, let's turn over to Matthew 13. All right, and here we can see in 13 is the parable chapter, okay? Starting verse 13:10, then the disciples came to him and asked him, why do you speak to them in parables? And he said to them, because it has been given to you to know the great secrets of the kingdom of Yahweh, but to them it has not been given. And when you read in Revelation 10, in the beginning, when the seven malach will begin to sound, then all the secrets of Yahweh will be fulfilled. They will be fulfilled, and in other words, we will, and then in Jeremiah it says, in the latter days you will understand perfectly the plan of Yahweh. All right? But today we're going to speak about the stones. Why did Yahweh compare us to stones? Think about that. Did you ever think about stones? So what? We know what stones are. They're cut stones, there's pre-cut stones, and there's field stones also. All right? Now, because Yahweh will do the greatest work in his house in these last days, it will be spoken of throughout eternity. When you see your calling, and then you will understand before we go into these parables of the stones, all right? You come in here, he calls whomever, no one can come unless Yahweh himself draws him. So the seed of righteousness has been planted in you, and somehow that seed of righteousness is growing somehow and drawing you to the house of Yahweh. But look at the condition. Look at the condition you come in, all right? The condition, if you ever watch people coming in, and you've seen it in the movie, because we're coming from a long journey. We're coming out of Egypt, okay? And Hillel, she gave us a package in our mind. The way we were brought up, she had many, many thousands of years to train us and programs. And in this way, in this condition, we come to the house of Yahweh. The things we rejoiced in, the tradition, the competition, and ambition, and greed. That is a mixture of a witch's brew, and the rest falls right into pieces to destroy us, all right? Now, so here we come to the house of, let's turn to first Kefer 2. First Kefer 2, and here we can see we had a stone. The prophets, they called us stones. All right. First Kefer 2. The chosen stone of the spiritual house. So Yahweh's building the house, coming to him as a living stone, indeed rejected by man, but chosen by Yahweh. Now you can read that right in the beginning, that Yahweh has Yeshua in mind. In Job 38, verse 6, if you can mark it down, we're not going to go there. There he says, "And who? Where were you when I... laid the cornerstone. Yeshua is the cornerstone." So, and here in verse 4 says, in verse 5, all right, "You also," that is us, "as living stones being built up into a spiritual house, the house of Yahweh, to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual gifts acceptable to Yahweh through Yeshua," all right? So we're building a spiritual house acceptable, and in the house, offering spiritual sacrifices. When they built the altar, they had a stone altar, all right? And they had to build it, and they had the animal sacrifices. But Yahweh didn't say we're going to sacrifice animals here and build us an altar and say, no, spiritual sacrifice. We will represent as Abel did. The people will come as the stones, and here they will be taught defy the teaching which only Yahweh will provide. The material which his altar is built with material that Yahweh will provide, all right? And offering spiritual sacrifices, not blood sacrifices, all right? Spiritual sacrifice. In other words, like Abel, his congregation, Yahweh accepted. Yahweh accepted it because he offered the people as righteous before Yahweh, as our servant Israel will do. He will offer us to Yahshua and say, here are your people. And in this way, we will offer in the, he will usher in the kingdom. But we have a work ahead of us. And watch what, pay attention to the work, what Yahweh has chosen to use to do the work. All right? All right, now here, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, so you would show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who in time past were not a people, but now you are the people of Yahweh, who have not obtained mercy, now you have obtained mercy. Now, a holy nation, a priesthood. But look at the condition. Since we have been through the meat grinder and the mental grinder, Yahweh has done something which no other ever did before. He has chosen us in these last days. He bring him to his house, handicapped people, physically or mentally handicapped, to some low or high degree. And that's the prophet spoke of that. He says, every head is sick from the bottom of the soul to the top of the head. Even if you think you didn't have a physical toic or whatever, we were mentally, let's say, retarded a little bit concerning the truth, you know, towards a certain degree. And Yahweh has chosen this, so with only the material of teaching which Yahweh will provide, he is building his spiritual house. He says, no cut stone should be coming up on the altar. Make sure you don't use pre-cut stone like bricks and from the quarries. They're perfect stones. You can lay them like they built the temple. That was not the house of Yahweh in Jerusalem. So what is this? The material which Yahweh will provide. It was the teaching material. All those cut stone, those doctors, those lawyers, those high officials fit in a different society. That's why he cannot use them here. You don't see too many here. It would be an insultment to have these wise guys here. Or, you know, I don't want to insult them, but they have nothing to do with Yahweh's kingdom. But yet he calls living stones, afflicted, remember, despised by men. There's an example. And remember, a parable is a thing, is a statement or saying hard to be understood. Why did Yahweh chose a stone? Called us as living stones, we will build a house of Yahweh. Now look, the uncut stones are the field stones. You see them all over the place, all right? So all at once they get say, hey, we need a pillar here in the house there or a corner, whatever. Gather the stones together. So we gather the stones together and you look at the stones. Oh, Father, you can find it. None is usable. So put them there and then he calls somebody who has maybe little knowledge of building, so let's build as we need it, this right and that one, so building a little structure there according to the commandments. So now, here we are. If you would look at this, it's these stones out there. When you have time, you'll look at it, all right? You know what a field stone is. They got it from all the places. And then put them together, and then The architect was Yahweh, and then he sent somebody who's skilled with stones or familiar, who played around with stones all their lives probably, and put some together to make it representable. Now these stones, remember Yeshua, he was the cornerstone. He was despised by men, but he was precious in the sight of Yahweh. So he was not looking at the appearance, all right? Because Yeshua was taught, built only with the material that Yahweh provided to his parents. And you being provided the material, the teaching material, and you will be fitting into these living stones, and you will be a holy priesthood. Remember in the law it says, no defected person should come into the priesthood, or you will not qualify for it. But here you come in. Look how you come in. One leg, one hand, crippled up. Because he left surely mature, she messed us up. We wouldn't qualify for the priesthood. But yet here he says, You also being as living stones built up into the spiritual house, the house of Yahweh, a holy priesthood. So yes, you will qualify for the thing, because when you come here, Yahweh bring you here, and you bring these field stones in there, whatever ditch and dirt they came out from, you gotta brush them up a little bit, rinse them up a little, clean them up, and then, you know, feed them around, then you, every one stone should fit, but not every one stone fits when you build something. You pick one up, that don't fit one, put him over there. No, that one, sometimes you have to put him away 10 times or other 7 times. And all at once, he fits there, the stone. So stay here. You must stay here because we as the stones bruised and beat up and chipped. Look at this column over there, all right? And look at it, and picture yourself as one of these stones there, all right? If you look close, look real close, you're going to find a million faults with that if you're a fault finder. If you look at one another, oh, don't look too close. You're going to find too many faults with each of these stones. The guy has a short leg, oh, and he's a little light-headed. Who knows what's wrong with these people, you know? And Yahweh is doing the greatest work with these stones, with this handicap, mentally and physically. No one can do that. No one. When you come to the house of Yahweh, you're not handicapped. And if you have your one eye to see, or one leg to go on there, or pushing or carried in there, Yahweh don't see you handicapped. He got a work for you to do, a job for you to do. Everyone. Don't feel helpless, all right? Don't be helpless. You're needed here. You understand? Say, well, how did you do that? How did you get in there? Well, Yahweh, he brushed me up, he washed me, cleansed me, and fed me the pure food. Even if you can do nothing, you just go to the cafeteria, eat that clean and healthy food Yahweh's provided. It will help you to recuperate. Because Yahweh will come with healing in his wings. You will not be handicapped all the time, but you can do the work of Yahweh with being handicapped, or as we are. And we have to learn to work together as handicaps, all right? So that's how Yahweh works in the unity, but no one could boast about. That's why we've spoken of with these people here, despised by men. Oh, come on, they're a bunch of nuts over there, you know? You can do nothing with those people. Oh, yeah, Yahweh can do marvelous things. Look, we are here, the message. You're helping along, even if you're in a wheelchair, you're helping along. This message is going throughout this world. This message that there's a kingdom provided and life forever. There's this misery, this wicked business system will simply cease from the face of the earth. All right? So now in Exodus 20:25, it tells you, when you build the altar, only use the material Yahweh will provide. This is the teaching material, not the sand, the cement and everything. He building people. He build not, Yahweh is not worshipped in a house, in a building. He's worshipped in through the people. We will offer the sacrifice of praise to Yahweh and be just like him, all right? And Satan, of course, her kingdom, the gates of hell, which the package which she gave us when we come to the house of Yahweh, that's what we have to get rid of. And with the cleansing, with the washing, and put into place. See, we have an overseer, he will know, there's nobody handicapped, he put you here, you can do this. Oh no, don't pretend you're sick, come on, I got a job for you to do. All right? My head hurts too, my toe hurts, everything hurts, but I'm still here, you know. Oh, we've been rolling in, the rolling stones, we came in here. But look, when you lay around there in the beginning, what should I do? When I came in, say, go, tell me what to do. That's what the scriptures said. The scriptures did not say, well, let me think about it. Like one man says, you know, he just said, he said, go do this, go get this. He swept around and he said, what? He said, are you asking me or are you telling me? I'm glad I was there and grabbed him and said, get over here. I said, what's the difference? What's the difference if I ask you or tell you? It's a job here. Servitude should be the attitude. We come here to serve, right? What can I do? You'll be surprised what you can do. You'll be surprised. So we're coming here, you know, you see. Let's read it again. You also as living stones. These are the uncut stone, the field stones being built up into a spiritual house. The house of Yahweh. which will be everywhere. It is seen as a lighthouse. It's no more secret. And these are the secrets that there's no handicaps in here. And believe it or not, before Yeshua's return, you will be better than new. Even the dead will be raised. Now there's nothing but dust left of them, and they've been beat to death and everything. They also come. We're not gonna go before them, they're gonna go before us, and we're gonna double rejoice when we see them rising up. Alright, and this is the spiritual house which will endure forever. Alright? What Yahweh does, it is forever. Alright, so in past time, we were not a people. Who were you? Think about it. But now we are the people of Yahweh. Oh, that's one of them Yahweh ones. Oh, look at him. What can Yahweh do with these characters, you know? They cannot even count to three. Yeah, we can count to three. We learning the material. All the teaching in the whole world. You check back the history, all right? You check this back and all the think about it. They were dead. Their teaching brought them into the grave, into hatred, into war, and again, increasing more and more. Just show me one example where they have offered eternal life or whatever, or peace and joy. Their teaching. That's why it's very important that you stay away from that teaching and listen. Yahweh put us back that we have to experience again the way as it starts, you know, the hardship. We're going through hardship, especially the cold weather and everything. You know, we're suffering is for a reason. This should not be like that. You know, it was because of the wrong teaching. We were misguided. All right? Now it's over. In these last days, it's over because Yahweh is revealing, he's explaining these parables, and in the latter days, we will understand this perfectly. All right? So don't be discouraged, brethren. You come in here, and don't think you're not going to be in the priesthood because you're a little handicapped. I see nothing but handicapped, but I can see you doing the greatest work. This message is a powerful message. You are the voice of Yahweh. This is the most powerful thing in the face of the earth, even more powerful than the nuclear war. We even will survive that nuclear war, all right? Yahweh will come to rescue us, to deliver us from this. All right? And we will usher in Yeshua's return. You will see Yahweh, hear a voice, come up here, and we going to rejoice. But don't give up the work. You're not handicapped the way you think. I've seen handicapped people, and I looked, I said, I wonder who's handicapped, him or me? You know, because I realized I was handicapped. And many things, you can do things I never dreamed of, all right? So you understand that the parable of the stones now. Now that is just, I brushed a little dust off the stones. If you go behind every stone there, you'll be surprised what behind every stone is. You might find out there's going to be jewels and diamonds and everything you might turn out if you brush it all off, the dust, all right? And with this, may Yahweh bless you and keep you here. And for our next speaker, Greek Kahan, Michael.
Shabbat shalom! Please be seated. Knock all that down. Turn over to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6. Let me get this out here. Okay. Isaiah chapter 6. You know, the theme of this feast is working together, you know, not being a servant to yourself, but serving others. In Isaiah chapter 6, that's on page 533. Let's look at verse 8. It says, I have also heard the voice of Yahweh saying, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? And then I said, here I am, send me. Now, when you look at this, you see that Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, whose name means the salvation of Yahweh. You see the willingness of this prophet, you know, and this is the willingness that we all must have in what we do. And this is really a prophecy of pointing out the plan for Yahweh, too, the plan for mankind. Let's look at verse 9. He says, and he said, go and tell this people. Notice, he said, go and tell them. That's his commission. That's just like our commission, is go and tell the people. They will hear without seeing, but they would not understand. You will see without seizing, but you will not perceive. Make the heart of this people fat Make their ears heavy. Give them a big nose. You know, Botox lips, all of these things. No, that's not what it said. But, he says, and shut their eyes. But you got to remember, here this prophet was told, go and do this. They're not going to listen to you, but you got to go out and do it anyway. Well, it's the same commission that the house of Yahweh has today. We have to do what Yahweh says to do. Whether the world listens or not, it doesn't matter. We have a commission work that needs to get done. So we have to be, you have to be called to have this understanding. Don't forget that. And only Yahweh can open a person's mind. And then I asked, oh Yahweh, how long? And he answered, until the cities are wasted without inhabitant, and the houses without man, and the land is utterly desolate. So we see the end result of really what to look for here. And Yahweh has removed men far away. And there was a great forsaking, a depopulation. Well, that's exactly what we see that Yah is trying to do today, right? Is depopulate the earth in the midst of the land. And of course, this is the effect of the outcome of nuclear war. But that's also when Yeshua said, look upward and know that your redemption draws near. Open up to Hebrews chapter 9. You know, because we're the ones that the scriptures were written for and written about. 1 Corinthians 10 tells us that all these things are written for us so that we would know that the time is for us and that the end of the ages have come upon us. Hebrews chapter 9. Before we get there, I want to show you something here. In Exodus 25, verse 31, okay? It says, make a lampstand of pure gold and hammer it out. Oh, now think about it. The gold is what we're striving to become, right? The gold. And hammer it out. Now, that's the test and the trials that we have to go through. And that's to bring us to perfection. The base and the shaft. You know, the house of Yahweh is the pillar and ground of the truth, or the shaft and the base. And its flower-like cups and buds and blossoms shall be, now that's the fruits of spirit, holy, okay? Shall be of one piece with it. That's unity. That's unity. You know, and unity is not just, unity doesn't mean just one, okay? That's not what unity is. It doesn't mean that you're just saying you agree with everything together. It goes so much deeper if we would just think and reflect upon the things that we have learned, the things that we know about, you know? The microbes. We know that the microbes have to trust us. We have to get to that point. Why? Everything is made up of microbes. If the microbes themselves were not in unity, this whole universe would just destroy itself. They work together. And that's what unity is working together. Always. And we've got to comprehend that. We've got to get to the point to where we can come to that perfection. Yahweh's working with us. He said it's going to be done. He just puts us through the tests and the trials and the grinding every day, seeing how we're going to react to certain situations. And will we be quick to repent? You know, because he doesn't judge perfection in the way that mankind judges perfection. But Yeshua said, all the laws hang on two things. Love your neighbor as yourself, which means you have to love yourself, and to love Yahweh with all your heart, soul, and might. That's everything that you've got. And the thing is, all of the laws hang on those. If you can keep those two laws, you will keep every law that Yahweh has. That's the unity, and that's what pulls us together. And that's what causes us to become Yahweh's people in his eyes. In Revelations 1:20 here, it says the seven lampstand, which you saw, the seven congregations of the house of Yahweh. Okay, so we know that this lampstand talks about us. Here in Hebrews chapter 9, okay, look at verse 2. It says, for this is the tabernacle. This is the layout of the tabernacle. The first part, in which was the lampstand, that seven-lamp lampstand, the table and the showbread, which is called the holy place. Okay, and the holy place is where the lampstand was at. And then you had a veil that covered, and it separated between the holy place and the most holy place. Jump down to verse 6. Okay. It says, now, these things have been arranged in this way. The priests always went into the first part, that's the holy place, performing the service of Yahweh. But into the second part, the most holy place, only the high priest went once a year on the Day of Atonement. Okay, that's the only time he could go into there. He went in there once a year on the Day of Atonement. And not without blood. It's the same with Yeshua. Yeshua is a high priest. He had to have blood, right, to sacrifice, which he offered for himself and for the sins of the people which had been committed in ignorance. Okay, so this is what Yeshua has accomplished. The Spirit wholly signifying this, that the way into the most holy place was not yet made manifest as long as the first tabernacle was still standing. And this is a representation of the present time, okay? That we'll turn over to Revelations real quick. Revelations chapter 4. Revelations 4. Keep that in mind. This lampstand was there in the holy place, and it was set up in a particular spot. Now we see here in Revelations 4, verse 5. Revelations 4, verse 5. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. And there were seven lamps of fire burning, where? Before the throne, which signify and represent the complete plan of Yahweh. Now, you can see here that something took place, didn't it? Something took place. Remember that veil that separated the holy and the most holy place. When Yeshua died, the scripture says that the curtain was torn from the top to the bottom. Okay? It was torn. It was ripped from the top to the bottom. The Malachim just grabbed the whole door and just ripped it. He commanded the microbes and they just ripped it. But when Yeshua died, okay, that veil represented his flesh. When he died, his flesh only was no longer needed. Remember, he was flesh and blood. He had shed his blood, just like we just read. The high priest went in, had to go in with blood. And so this fleshly body with blood was no longer needed. Now when he was resurrected, he became spirit and flesh. Still had the same body, but he had spirit within him. But notice the tearing of the veil. Now, what that signified was that now there was no longer a separation barrier. Yeshua could enter into the most holy place. And when he did, he grabbed that menorah, which represents you, and he brought it before Yahweh. And that's what you read here in Revelation 4. It's now set before Yahweh's throne, okay? And remember what that menorah represents. That's the work of Yahweh. That's the work of Israel Hawkins. And that oil that the priest used, that oil, that golden oil, that olive oil, it signifies, well, it means pure and clean and translucent and innocent. And that's, of course, the teachings that our beloved overseer teaches us. And remember, all this was done on behalf of the children of Israel. That's you. You are the children of Israel. You are the seed of Israel. In Exodus, turn over to Exodus chapter 35. Remember, all these things were written for us, for our learning. It's the only reason why the book of Yahweh was put together for us in these last days. There'd be no need for it. Any other reason for it if it wasn't for us. In Exodus 35, look at verses 4 to 5. This is on page 75. Exodus 35, verse 4. It says, and Israel Hawkins spoke to all the congregation of his children, saying, this is what Yahweh commanded, saying, from what you have, take an offering for Yahweh. And whoever is of a willing heart is to bring to Yahweh an offering of gold and silver and bronze. Now, when it says, of what you have to offer, that's you. That's your service to one another. That's our service to each other. We're spoken of as a living sacrifice in Romans 12, verse 1. That we're supposed to offer ourselves up as a living sacrifice. Now, you know, just like Abel brought an offering of the people before to Yahweh. In his last days, this last Abel also brings an offering of people to Yahweh, right? So, what's this gold and what's this silver? Look over to 2 Timaeus. 2 Timaeus. And it shows you what it is. 2 Timaeus 2. 2 Timaeus 2. You know, it reminds me of what the Apostle Kepha said, you know, when a beggar asked him, could I have anything? And he said, well, silver and gold have I none. But what I do have, I will gladly give unto you. In 2 Timaeus 2, verse 2, let's read verses 20 and 21, page 938. 2 Timaeus 2, verse 20. However, in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, okay, there's your gold and silver, but also of wood, which can easily be burnt, right? And clay, which can easily be broken. Some for honor and some for dishonor. So you see, it's up to Yahweh to take a person, to call a person, to bring him into his house, and to use him to whatever capacity he wants to use him. You know, we can't pick and choose the day that we're going to be born. We can't pick and choose the day that we're going to be born spiritually into Yahweh's house. And we can't pick and choose what we want to do in Yahweh's house. Right? We have to be willing to do whatever is needed to do and what Yahweh trains us to do. And, you know, lots of times people will be put in positions and it's like, well, I'm qualified to do this. Yeah, but you need to do this. And if you start doing that, you'll learn to love it. And you'll realize that you have a very important position to do because everybody has something to contribute to Yahweh's house. You know, the promise has already been given to Israel Hawkins. Israel Hawkins is Yahweh's chosen one. He's been chosen, you know. So this is why it's up to us to prove ourselves to become children of our Father, our spiritual Father. Verse 21, he says, therefore, if a man purges himself of sin, then he can be a vessel for honor, sanctified and fit for the Father's use, and prepared for every righteous work. You know, because Yahweh can only use a person who is willing to depart from iniquity. Okay, and that's what we're taught. Why do you think Pastor spends so much time trying to get us ready? You know, he wants a people ready. Why? Because he says, hurry, hurry, work, work, work. It's not to push us. It's not to break us. It's to break us down with the old stubborn pride that we have and the old carnal mind and to become the spiritual people that Yahweh can use. Because the whole universe is waiting on us. And we, you know, we hear those words and stuff, but do you ever really think about that? Do you ever really think about how your sins affects the microbial world? And everything in the universe is made from microbes? You can see the beauty and the perfection of Yahweh's laws, dealing with the clean and the unclean and so forth, and all of these different laws that he has to keep everything working together perfectly. And what does mankind do? Come in there and mess everything up. Well, we're the fixers, you know. We're going to have to fix everything. This is when we go out to the old waste places and we'll be the repairer of the breaches and so forth. We're going to be repairing all of this stuff and bringing it all back together again. And remember, turn over to, be turned over to Romans 9. Romans 9. Remember, Yahweh is glorified through Israel Hawkins. Isaiah 49, verse 3. He's our entrance into the kingdom. You know, he is our entrance into the kingdom. He's the epitome of Yahweh's salvation. Okay? And you remember Romans 12, 1, very, very well-known scripture. It says that we must present ourselves as living sacrifices. But to who? Well, we offer ourselves to Yahweh. But the way we do that is in service through Israel Hawkins. This is his kingdom. The house of Yahweh is his kingdom that Yahweh has given unto him to lead, guide, and direct us in everything that we do. And that's why we got to be involved in the work, you know. And, you know, he actually represents us in the kingdom of Yahweh. You know, our work is not to convert the world. Our work is to preach the message, but it's not to convert the world. You know, just like the prophet Isaiah was told, you go and you do what you need to do, and I'll take care of the rest. Yahweh says, I'll deliver you. You know, we're not out to save souls. Billy Graham could have done that, right? But we're not out to save souls. Because only Yahweh can open up a mind, you know? We saw that in the prophet Isaiah. But we are the family. We are the family of Yahweh, okay? We are the family of Yahweh. This is your family, not your blood relatives. We should have no ties with anyone in a blood family that could affect us to pull us away from Yahweh's house. We should always be an example to them and always lifting up Yahweh in all that we do so that they see. And without a doubt, they know that we're not going to be swayed one way by what they say or think or feel. You know, you have such a thing as you know, Yahshua said, once you put your hand to the plow, don't look back. You know, you keep plowing, you don't look back. Anybody who's ever plowed with a plow could tell you that if you took your looks off of what's going straight ahead and you started looking back, by the time you look back, your row's going to be all messed up. But we have a family tree, and let me just tell you this: the calendar went online. It went online on Yahshua 15th. And I called Pastor to tell him that the calendar's up online now. And that was at 6:40 p.m. At 6:40 p.m., the number 6:40 means to gird or to bind. Again, unity, okay? Think of unity. Think of unity. And that comes from the word 636, which means tree. Now, if you remember what the calendar says, the house of Yahweh joyously celebrates returning to the original tree of life. Okay? The original tree of life. So we're part of this tree. You know, we all have one family. We all have one father. We all have one faith. We all have one high priest. And we all have one head. One head. Okay? And it's only through Israel that we can have access to Yahweh. You know, you can't make it on your own. No one can make it on their own. We need Israel Hawkins. Look over and if anybody doubts that, look over to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. You know, Romans 8, verse 26 is on page 879. Romans 8, verse 26. For the body can't survive without a head. In Romans 8, verse 26, it says, in the same way the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses, for we might not know how to offer our prayer worthily, as we ought. But the Spirit itself intercedes for us with groans and which words cannot express. Now, this is the way it should read. In the same way, the Moloch of Yahweh, the one sent, helps us in our weaknesses. for we might not know how to offer our prayer worthily as we ought. But the Moloch of Yahweh, the one sent, himself intercedes for us. And with crying out that is revealed in the word of Yahweh, the law, and the prophets at Abel. Okay? That's the corrected translation. And boy, I don't know about y'all, I need all the prayers I can get. But you know, we have to be thinking about one another. We have to be praying and quick to repent always. Yeshua works through Israel Hawkins. You know, he is the high priest over the house of Yahweh. And notice what it says about him in the prophecies. In Hebrews 10:5 it says, therefore he came into the world. When he did, he said, sacrifice and offering you did not want, but a body you have prepared for me. You have prepared a body for me. We are the body. And so the hand can't say, because he's not part of some other part of the body, that he's not part of the body, you know? And you know the scripture that talks about that. Because the little finger's not part of the leg, you know, he can't say that he's not part of the body. But don't ever think of yourself more than you ought to. But at the same time, don't ever think of yourself lower than what you ought to. You know, Yahweh's working with us. He's bringing us to perfection. I come not to be served, but to serve. That's the theme. And we can always find a place in Yahweh's house. And he says, once you find that place, don't go out. You know, we celebrated Yeshua's memorial death for a reason. Yeshua died so that we would not have to die. So he could have a body of people. He prepared a body of people for him. This word prepare, it means now, remember, Yahweh, through Yeshua, works through Israel. Always keep that in mind. This word prepared that Yeshua said, he came with a prepared body. Strong's, it means to complete thoroughly, okay? That is to repair. And we need fixing up, right? To prepare. It also means to adjust or fit. You know, no one, as Yeshua said, no one puts their hand to the plow is and looks back as fit for the kingdom. It also means frame. It also means mend. It also means to make perfect. You know, brothers and sisters, the world doesn't know what perfection is. Sometimes we don't think about what perfection is either. You know, sometimes we think that perfect is just what the world teaches is perfect. That's not what perfection is. Perfection is keeping Yahweh's laws. Perfection, when you strive, and you gotta strive, you know, when we strive to keep Yahweh's laws, when we try with all our heart, all our soul, all our might, to do what Yahweh wants us to do, we're perfect. And that's the house of Yahweh. That's our family. That's us. We are the house of perfection. Don't ever forget that, because perfection comes from keeping Yahweh's laws. And that's the beauty, and that's the way that Yahweh judges us. He doesn't look at the imperfections. He's fine-tuning those things. Yeshua's the carpenter, you know? He's the carpenter, and he's fine-tuning through Israel Hawkins to get those little rough edges off of us so that we can become perfected. Well, this word prepared, it also means to join together in unity. You know, Yahweh's unifying his people together as one family, the family of Yahweh. It means to prepare and to restore. Well, that's what he's doing, you know. We're all the house of Yahweh together, you know, and we're all spiritual stones. And as the Khan just said, you know, we're in the construction and Yeshua is the finishing carpenter. He's coming And he's putting those finishing touches on us. Turn over to 1 Corinthians 9. 1 Corinthians 9. He's fine-tuning his people. And when he returns, he's going to have what he's looking for. 1 Corinthians 9, let's look at verse 26 and 27. 1 Corinthians 9, 26 and 27, page 893. 1 Corinthians 9, he says, "Therefore I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man who beats the air." You know, like the old boxer, you know, will start beating the air. They look stupid, don't they? And they bounce around. And they bounce in the air. It's like, what do you expect? What's going to hit you back, you know? What if the microbes did and the wind did decide to punch him out? You know, how would he feel then? He'd feel like a complete idiot then, for sure, wouldn't he? But he says, "I don't fight like the man who beats the air. No, I discipline my body, notice, and I bring it into subjection so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified." Okay? So we have to discipline ourselves. You know, that's our fighting. Scripture calls us the soldiers of Messiah. When you think of a soldier, you think about a fighter, a warrior, you know. Well, that's not what we do. We don't fight with violence. We don't fight against Satan. Yes, Satan's our adversary. But at the same time, remember what Yeshua taught? Love your enemies. Does that mean you love Satan? Yeah, you do it. If you do what the law says, because the keeping of the law means to love one another, right? You don't love Satan to serve Satan, you serve Yahweh. But at the same time, you have respect for that being. You know, Fizzle Hawkins, if the court of heavens opened up immediately right now and pulled Israel Hawkins up before the courts of heaven to testify against Satan the devil, that man would not have one word of contempt or disrespect for that being. What he would say is, "She's doing a terrific job, Yahweh, exactly what you allow her to do." And we know that because that's the same example that Israel Hawkins set when he went before Satan's judges on earth. He kept the law and he practiced the law that says, "Do not revile the ruler of your people." He didn't have one ill word to say about any of the judges, did he? Instead, what did he say? "Pray for them. They need your prayers." They threw him in jail, put a tremendous bond upon him, made his life miserable. Pray for him. That's the example that Yeshua set. And he, you know, Israel Hawkins, he is the epitome of Yahweh. He's the epitome of Yeshua Messiah. You can see the inspiration that that man has. He does everything that Yahweh says to do. Look at 2 Timaiah. 2 Timaiah 4. 2 Timaiah 4. He was Yeshua to the earthly courts and they didn't even realize it. You know? They didn't even know it. Because Yahweh is love. He's not hate or violence. He doesn't act in that manner. 2 Timaiah 4, verses 7 and 8. He says, "I have fought..." This on page 939. Right? Yeah. 2 Timaiah 4, 7 and 8. "I have fought a righteous fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. From here on, there is stored up for me a crown of righteousness, which Yeshua, the righteous judge, will give me at that day, and not to me only, but also to all those who love his appearing." Do you? Do you love Yeshua's appearing? I know you do, brother. I know you do because you love Israel Hawkins. That's how I know. The word fight, or fault. The word fault, it means struggle with difficulties and dangers. We're talking about life, okay? Life itself. Struggle with difficulties and dangers to endeavor with strenuous zeal, strife, Remember Yeshua said, strive to enter into the narrow gate? To obtain something, okay? That's what we're fighting. We're not fighting Satan hand-to-hand combat. We're fighting to get into the kingdom of Yahweh. So it's not a show of force. It's not referring to that at all. It's referring to the overcoming of sin itself. The word fight, notice. The word fight means a place of assembly or an action at law, a trial. Well, didn't Yeshua said that we're on trial right now? We are on trial right now. Pastor's taught us that many times. You know, this is the place of assembly. There's no other place like Abel to be tested. All right? No other place. You want to learn what overcoming is? Move to Abel. Okay? Move to Abel. And everybody should be ready for that, too, right? Okay, so it comes from number 771. You can see that? Yeah. Number 71. It means to lay, to lead by laying hold of, and in this way to bring to the point of destination. Of course, our destination is to make into the kingdom. It means to attach oneself as an attendant. What is that? That's a servant. You serve, you attend others, you become a servant one to another. Okay? That's the fight. You really want me to work with that guy? Him? You gotta be joking me. Huh? That sister over there, I don't know if I can get along with her. You know, that's our fight, right? You push away the old man, the old woman. I'm not gonna say old woman. You know what I'm talking about. The old person. You gotta be careful though. You don't want to get into these gender things, right? You know, the old person, okay? Put them away. Get them away from you and think spiritual minded, right? Because we got to think about where is our mind at. Because one other thing here, you see, it also means to move, to impel of forces and influences on the mind. Influences on the mind. Think about it. Remember this question. What's on your mind? Okay? We're going to come back to that in a little bit. What's on your mind? So right now, turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians 10. 2 Corinthians 10. I almost got myself in trouble, guys. I may have already. I have to save myself. 2 Corinthians 10. All right. Back over here somewhere. 2 Corinthians 10. Let's look at verses 4 and 6. 2 Corinthians 10, verses 4 and 6. Okay, if you remember, it talked about the mind. It says, for the weapons of our warfare, this is on page 906, 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Okay, it's not carnal. That's not what we do. But it's mighty in Yahweh pulling down strongholds. Well, what are these strongholds? Well, these strongholds are things that have a strong hold on you. Okay? So, demolishing arguments, destroying every high thing that exalts itself against the one who is Yahweh. And that's why our minds have to examine our actions. That's why, remember, every action begins with what? A thought. It's what you think. You know, we think something and then we'll react on it one way or the other. We're going to react on those thoughts one way or the other. Even if it just stays within our minds and we're battling within our own minds, we're going to react one way or the other. So what do we have to do? We have to bring every under control, every thought. It's not easy to do, is it? Sometimes we may think, okay, yeah. It's easy to stand back and say, you know, you shouldn't act that way. You should be teaching the peaceful solution. What? How do you react sometimes, you know? You come back at a person, and it's really easy to correct someone. But, you know, we have to correct one another, but we have to do it in a loving way, right? And we have to do it in a sincere way to where they don't think that we're making fun of them or picking on them or accusing them in any type of way, you know? We have to just give them a friendly reminder. And I think everybody should be that way. Everybody should be able to accept that correction, too. And realize, like, you're right. I need to stop what I'm doing. And you've been taught that already from the Okie 24 manual, right? Long, long, long ago, all of these things have been put into our minds. We just need to react to them. And notice, being in readiness to punish all disobedience once your obedience is complete. You know, Pastor already told us the time's coming when we're going to be judging the original sons of Yahweh. So we can't back down. You know, we have to be able to stand strong enough to judge them. An interesting note is in verse 10 here, because if you notice, the apostle Shaul, he writes and he says, and he was writing to the Corinthians, and he says, for his letters, in his letters, they say his letters are weighty and powerful. But in person, he's weak, and his speech is contemptible. You sound like Shaul. Maybe had a little speaking problem, right? So he seemed weak, and his speech was contemptible by some people. Maybe Abel wasn't the one who had the nice, crisp, and proper, and eloquent voice like Cain had. Cain was able to persuade the people. Abel may have had a little bit of difficulty in speaking, right? Moshe said, Yahweh don't use me. I can't even talk, man. Okay, but he used him, right? The prophet Jeremiah. What did the prophet Jeremiah say? The prophet Jeremiah said, I'm too young. I can't get up there and speak before people. He says, Jeremiah, go and do what I tell you to do, and I'll deliver you. And he was obedient. And then we come to the apostle Shaul. He's the same way. They say, well, he's weak. He's contemptible. It's his speech. But his letters are strong and powerful. Now in these last days, we have Noki, whose newsletters and prophetic words are very powerful, right? But his voice is not weak, that's for sure. His voice could be heard down to 603 from here, you know. But his speech, some people will ridicule him about his speech. But you know what? There's not a man on the face of this earth who is more clear and precise in his speaking ability than Israel Hawkins. So Yahweh kind of followed the pattern somewhat. And, you know, he uses Israel Hawkins to glorify himself. Can you imagine? I mean, here's what he says. He says, Israel, through you, I will be glorified. He is the creator of the universe. Grasp what he's saying. The creator of the universe is using this man to tell the world that he exists. That he exists. The creator of the universe. Most of us would be shaking in our shoes if we had that job, right? You know, for proof, just look at all the pictures on the wall. The pictures are everywhere on the wall. Everywhere you see, this is the work that Yahweh has done through this man. And it shows all the leaders, and this is not all of them, but, you know, it shows the leaders that he's met with. It shows the work that he's done. It shows the work that you have been a part of, the work that you have backed up all of these years and are continuing to do so. It shows what Yahweh can do with a group of people. Remember, we're the worst lot. We're the worst generation that's ever been. We're the most perverse generation that's ever been alive on earth. And the perversion's still out there. And we have the opportunity to go out there, or we have the opportunity to stay and to remain. Right? I asked you a question. What's on your mind? Okay? You got two things. You got the world, and you got Yahweh's work. Okay? The world in a gematria is number 1167. Is Baal. So if you want to be a part of the world, you serve Baal. The gematria for Yahweh's work is 2452. That word means wisdom. Okay? So, if we want to be wise, You can see why we're always taught, get involved in the work of Yahweh, okay? Because we can choose either way. Go to Psalm 139. Let's cover two more scriptures. Psalm 139. In Psalm 139, let's look at verse 16. This is found on page 491. And notice what he says here. Psalm 139, verse 16. This is talking about Yahweh. Yahweh says, your eyes, Yahweh's eyes saw unformed substance. But in your book, all the days ordained for us were written, even before one day even existed for us. Before we were ever born, Yahweh knew us. He knew you would be sitting here today and all the other days of the feast, keeping and learning of his ways. But notice, your name was written in that book, in the book of life. Always has been, okay? Your name's been written in the book of life before you were ever born. Your job is to qualify to keep it written there. Okay? Look over to Psalm 90. Psalm 90. Let's look at verse 12. And remember what it says here. Psalm 90, verse 12, page 470. Psalm 90, verse 12 says, so teach us to number our days so that we may gain the heart of wisdom. What is wisdom? It's Yahweh's work, right? So let's be wise and let's remember to willingly choose to serve one another. We're family members. And when we're needed, be as Isaiah, saying, I will go. I will serve. And that's when we'll come together in unity. May Yahweh bless you.